In this episode, I talk about the importance of knowing what's coming into our attention. It can create a soundtrack for everything that we do. Often, it's the difference between those yucky days and the magical days. So here we go, episode 268, Priming Our Attention. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Hello, beautiful people. I hope you're doing well. I am sitting right smack in the middle of Florida summer. And in Florida summers, everything shifts to this game of, trying to keep horses healthy. It's a big, wet, hot petri dish of stuff. So taking care of wounds and watching for feet and soles that are getting too soft in all this wet grass, making sure they're getting the grass that they can have and not any more grass that they can't handle. And breathing stuff. Did you know that horses can get heaves from grass? I have one horse that he has a bit of heaves, and so we try to keep things, as not dusty as possible and keep them out on the grass. And then it turns out it's the grass that's causing it at a certain time of year. Anyway, and what else was I playing with? Oh, yeah, keeping them sweating. Yeah, so it's really a season to slow down, embrace the siesta life. Take it easy, but just shift with the horses and go, it's just about horse health and not trying to push and do things in the summer the same way that you do them when the weather's lovely. And, I always say whenever there's a limit, there's always something amazing that will come of it. And even though it doesn't feel amazing to just be, trying to keep my horses together in this weird environment. But the extra time I spend observing them and playing with them and hanging out in the barn under the fan and filling up the pond so they can go have pool parties together, those little extra moments is just as important and just as magical. And, then when you ride, you chase the shade. You find all the spots where the shade patches are at different times of the day. And so I actually like having the different seasons. Makes me think a little bit differently, shift the patterns that might have become ruts. And yeah, if nothing else, we hang out under the fans and play silly, silly, wonderful, beautiful horse games. And so that's what I'm doing. But we're going to make it through. We're going to make it through another Florida summer. Anyway, now I'm here to talk to you about attention, about priming our attention. And so I wanted to talk about this because the results that we get with our horses, and, when I say results, that could mean a lot of different things to different people, but, there's stuff we want to do. And whatever it is that we want to do with our horses for sure requires appropriate skill sets. And there's always a degree of, sort of practicing our scales, right? If you're a musician, you just got to put the hours in and practice the chords and practice the scales and, keep the coordination of our techniques up. So we absolutely need to do that. And I always feel like when I start talking about more subconscious things or things with the mind or things with the vibe, like I always have to say disclaimer, and you also need to do the technical skills. We also need to be fit enough, right? And we have to make smart decisions. So these are the things are like tangible things that you can put on your list. Like make sure you got the basics and your coordination there. Make sure you're fit enough to do to ride what you're asking your horse to do and that your horse is fit enough. And then training is just a series of really smart decisions. And you can get pretty far just by like, pay attention to those three things. And then get more and more detailed depending on exactly what you're trying to learn and do and train. But there's something else. There's something else that makes all the difference being able to do what we want to do or do what we can do or not, right? So even if two individuals with the same skill set, same abilities and coordination, they're both fit enough, their horses are fit enough, they make smart decisions, there's still something else that can make the difference between being able to actually have success doing what you can do already or not. And that is super interesting to me. You've probably already experienced days when you get easily frustrated or things just feel clunky. Or hopefully you've also experienced those magical moments where you're handling everything smoothly and appropriately. You're able to rise above the commotion and drop in more deeply at the same time, which doesn't really make any sense, which means it's important because the most important things in life are wrapped in paradox and they're hard to think about. And that's actually the point, thinking less. So often the variety in our results or how each day feels is because of powerful and subtle forces at work beyond our conscious control, but not totally, because we can decide where we put our attention. How we do what we do, our choices, the vibe of what we do, what our horse feels from us, our interpretation of events or the meaning that we give them is all influenced by what's already in our minds. And that is a result of where our attention has been. So when our awareness and attention are being bombarded by yucky things on social media, the bad news on the news, those ridiculous screens that they have playing at the gas pump. I mean, why do we need to watch TV at the gas pump? So from all of these things, we're going to be running a different soundtrack in everything that we do. I mean, unconsciously, we didn't mean to, but it's actually happening. What we see primes us and changes how we think and act more than you might imagine. So it creates this soundtrack for everything you do. And you know how much a soundtrack can change the way you see and interpret what's happening around you, right? You've seen it on social media, I'm sure. You know, you have a cat like just walking down a hallway, put some like light, funny, you know, jovial music on, or put like, you know, the movie soundtrack from like a horror movie. I mean, movies have soundtracks because of this. It changes how you feel about it. And so I think all this background noise, even if we don't think we're really studying or taking this stuff in, it's going in. Your brain sees everything. And then we just choose to not really, you know, to block it out to a point, but it already went in there. There was an experiment. It was a famous experiment. Maybe you've already heard about this, from Yale University psychology study. And they handed people, here's what they did. So they researchers asked subjects to hold a cup of either hot coffee or iced coffee. And so the person who's in on the experiment would go in, they'd be holding a cup. And then they'd like take their coat off or something and they'd ask somebody in the elevator, like, oh, could you just hold my cup of coffee for a moment, while they took their jacket off or something and then took it back. And they did everything exactly the same. The only difference is that half of the time the cup of coffee was hot coffee and half of the time it was iced coffee. And that's all they did. Excuse me, could you hold my coffee for a second? Took their coat off, took it back. And later, then the people who were given the cup to hold were followed, and they were approached and said that they're doing, you know, would they take part in this little study where they just had to read like a paragraph about a fictional character and then rate their personality traits. So they didn't know this was connected at all with a cup of coffee earlier. You know, it's just like sometimes people are doing stuff and they have a clipboard and they approach you, hey, could you take, you know, 3 minutes to do this thing for the study? And the people, you know, many of the people said yes. So they read this paragraph or so about a fictional character. Everybody read the exact same paragraph, and then they rated the personality traits of the person described in the paragraph. And what they found was participants who held the hot coffee cup rated the fictional character as significantly more what they call interpersonally warm, so generous, caring, and trustworthy, where the people who were given the iced coffee described them as colder. So, you know, cold, uncaring, suspicious, things like that. And that's pretty amazing. I mean, that's just a physical sensation for, you know, seconds, for a very short amount of time, was enough to change people's interpretation in a paragraph of describing a person. So just knowing that, thinking about everything that's in your environment and like how possibly might that affect how you're thinking about other things, your horse, the people you pass in the street, when something happens, you know, how smoothly are you able to navigate it? So this is happening to all of us. It simply is. I mean, I think advertisers have known about this effect for a long time. There's a reason why there's billboards with someone's face on it that you drive by every day. As you'll just subliminally, when you're looking up, you know, to try to find someone, you'll naturally be like, oh, I feel like I can trust this person. Why? Because you drive past them every day, even though you're not connecting the dots. You probably wouldn't say, I'm going to hire this person because I see their face on a billboard. You're just going to do it. So it's kind of, I think, a little disconcerting knowing how easily we can be influenced. But I think if it is happening, it's good to know it's happening, because we can then maybe do something about it. So we can't be able to control everything, but we cannot leave it completely to chance. We can make decisions where we're not completely, I don't know, victims of whatever just happens to be bombarding us. So I'm realizing more and more that my attention is my most valuable commodity or resource or currency or whatever you want to use for that word. You know, my attention, and I have some choices. Many times in the day, I have choices of where I put my attention. So I think the good news is that with some conscious effort, I think we can take back our attention. We can choose where to focus it. And I think this is going to affect everything we experience. I mean, think of the experiment, the hot coffee, the cold coffee. And now imagine, instead of reading about a fictional character, there you are at the barn. Right? What news did you ingest before you went out to see your horse? I love this quote by Jose Ortega. I don't know how to say his last name. Gassett? That's a very American way to say that. Jose Ortega Gasset. Anyway, put a Spanish accent on that. Anyway, he has a quote that says, "Tell me to what you pay attention, and I'll tell you who you are." So powerful. So a few years ago, I mean, I'm always thinking about this stuff, but a few years ago, I made a more conscious choice to go on an exploration of this. And it really led me somewhere that I didn't expect. I realized, well, it opened me to realizations that changed me really deeply, in a good way. And it really changed my relationship with everything. And of course, my horses are included in everything. So that's why I'm talking to you guys about it. And so some of you, if you've followed me on my personal Facebook profile or my personal Instagram, you've probably seen that it's full of pictures and photographs of funny things. Not a lot of horses. And this is a result of this thing that I started. So it was, I guess it was really started consciously back close to 2020. You know, pandemic is still going. Lots of yucky stuff in the world. Well, there always is, but I guess I just really felt like it was accumulating in my consciousness because there were so many things that felt really important. And when things start feeling important and start feeling urgent, it's really hard to peel your attention away from such things. But none of those important and urgent things were making me feel good. So I was noticing this, and I made a conscious decision to wrangle my attention very specifically. And so I decided to focus on looking for beautiful things. I'm always seeing beautiful things and grateful for beautiful things, but it's really different to make a decision to put your attention on it, to actively put your attention on it, to seek it out. There's so many things happening around us, and we often see such a surface level of it. And so I went on this kind of quest of looking for things that I thought were beautiful and then expanding it into, you know, the idea that there's in any one location, if I look around, you know, it's easy to scan and go, okay, well, there's nothing really especially beautiful here. So I'm going to walk over there and maybe there'll be something beautiful over there. And that's how it starts. But where it ended up, well, it ended up in some pretty cool places. But the next step was just to be open and expanded in my definition of what I considered to be beautiful. And when I opened to the possibility of a different definition of beauty, then more and more things started rising up. I mean, like, hey, what about me over here? And it went to some cool places after that. But the process of it, of just making a decision, and this is the part that I'm hoping you can really take with you and put into practice yourself, is to make a conscious decision of what you want to pay attention to. And at first, it's going to feel like an exercise, like a skill, right? You're going to be like, I'm going to look for beautiful things. Or you could choose to pick, I'm going to look for things about connection. I'm going to look for things about harmony. Or you might think, I'm going to look for like silliness. Like, I'm going to just choose to put my attention on silliness. And at first, it's going to feel perhaps like a technical game. Like you're looking and you're scanning and you have an idea in your mind, and then boop, you find something that matches your idea. And this is a great place to start. Even if you only ever do this step, that is already a big step, because you're tasking your brain, instead of just being open and letting whatever is coming at you go in, you can choose and to focus and put your antennas on what you want. So already, that's huge. But the next step that I found is that it got to a place where instead of the laser focus, I was more open. I was open to being surprised. So I just sort of held this thought of there are beautiful things everywhere, and to go through life kind of thinking, show me. Right? So when I switched to that, it became less of like an Easter egg hunt and more this invitation for it to approach me. Instead of it hiding and I had to go find it, I was like, let it approach me. And that shift was pretty, pretty profound. And so with just those two shifts, if you play with something like this, and then of course, imagine doing that, you know, imagine doing it with anything in life, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, but think of the difference of the soundtrack that will be created from your attention being there. And then of course, because our horses are the measure and they let us know how we're doing everything. To practice, practice taking charge of where you want your attention to go, and then be out with your horses. And it's not something you can try too hard to do. Like, well, I'm going to look at 5 beautiful things and then I'm going to go play with my horse and I should be able to measure a success. I mean, it might work like that, but I think there's a softer, more trusting way to do it. But start somewhere. Pick something to put your attention on. Practice it. Go with your horses and notice. But if you start to feel like, hey, I noticed, 5 beautiful things for 3 days in a row, and then I went out with my horse and he was really difficult, this doesn't work. Like, just be careful if you get into that it's less transactional. At least for me, it was less transactional. It was the deciding to do the attention, and then the next step of being open to receive it, and to not have a transactional goal with it. And that is another paradox. It's like we're doing this because we want life to feel better and to have a different soundtrack, and then things will be better and we will feel better. But the minute you try to like make that happen is when it doesn't. That's the tricky part. Anyway, I did write a book where I shared the story, the whole story, the whole journey, and shared my photographs, and that was called Finding Beauty. And I'll put the link to that. You can find that at KarenRolf.com. But I also just created a brand new, call it a workshop, but I don't like that word because it has work in it, but a virtual gathering where I'm actually going to take you along on this journey with me, which I'm so excited to do. So it's a journey of discovery, and I'm hoping it will leave you feeling more joyful. And it left me feeling more connected to myself and to the world around me. So it's designed, to just walk you through the same process that I went through, in the spirit of taking back your attention. And for me, it really soothed my soul. So we're going to do that. And I hope you join me. So you can find that at dressagenaturally.net/beauty. And how it's going to work is we start on August 8th, and then it takes place over 3 weeks. So it can feel really spacious, and it's going to be easy to consume and watch the stuff that I give you. But over 3 weeks, I'll be sharing the story of Finding Beauty, and I'll walk you along the same path that I went. And so I split it into 3 parts. So each week you'll get a recorded version of the story and that part. And then I created practices that you can do based on that. And it doesn't take a lot of time. Each video is not that long. And the practices are just things you do as you're going about your day. So you will watch the video, hear the story. Some of you will just go with it and float in that space. For those of you who want some stuff written down, I printed out a little sheet that reminds you of the practice and gives you some questions to prompt you throughout that week. And then you just go about your week with that in your mind, and we see what happens. And then hopefully you will be taking pictures and sharing your experience and the pictures in the Facebook group, which I think is going to be a really fun part of it. And then there's two live calls. So we'll get together, share our experiences, you can ask me questions, and take it as deep as you want. So it's meant to be, for me, it was a very powerful process, but it's super lighthearted. It's meant to be fun. And, you know me, that's the blend I like super powerful, super lighthearted. And hopefully it's just gonna, help to create more of those magical moments. So I wanted to tell you guys all about that. You can find it at dressagenaturally.net/beauty. We start on August 8th. So that's the deadline. Okay, that's it. Have a beautiful day. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.